The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth.
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the earth.
Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host... Normal's outreach coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokats, and welcome. It is Thursday, February 2nd, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us here for this show. Glad to have you here. All sorts of great stuff coming up on today's show. We're going to have Terry Joyce from the Southern California scene joining us to tell us all about what's happening down there with the federal crackdown. We're joined by her guest, Dan Hankin, who's an activist with the Cannabis Clubs United Committee. I think I'm getting the name wrong, but he'll tell us all about that as we get to the interview. Also on today's show, we have got an interview with Jorge Cervantes from his house in Barcelona, Spain, where he's growing some fantastic marijuana. He'll tell you all about that. And, of course, his latest developments in his career and his promotions. But before we get to all that, let's go to our virtual studio in beautiful Grastoria, Oregon, where our senior news editor, Cannabis Carrie, is standing by. Hello, Carrie.
Hi, Russ. Happy Groundhog Day.
Happy Groundhog Day to you. And happy birthday to our good friend Herb Thrasher from Normal Rocks with Herb Thrasher. It's his birthday today.
Nice. Happy Groundhog Day.
Yeah. Now, Cannabis Carrie is our senior news editor, as mentioned. She's got our hemp headlines for us. So what's in the news today?
We've got lots of news today. First off, we have Eric Holder, Attorney General, having to answer some questions in a little bit of hot water today. We're going to talk about that. Unfortunately, a bomb investigation leads to a fire. We'll talk more about that. But first up, we're going to start right here in Oregon, where an important case about the definition of usable marijuana, that'll be up first.
Oh, yeah. I saw that in my email today. Was really happy to see that coming across. I've also got some clips from the testimony of Attorney General Holder in front of the House committee today, where he was questioned on Operation Fast and Furious. That, of course, is the gun walking scandal that allowed a bunch of American guns to just walk out of the country and into the hands of the murderous Mexican cartels. We'll also have an update on that story that we told you earlier on the veterans activist group that offended the POW folks and the Veterans for Foreign Wars. There's been a change there. Also on today's show, it's Groovin' Thursday, so we get some Groovin' Thursday music from Ganja John. So Ganja John, what are we looking forward to today?
Wiz Khalifa and Wale in an unofficial mixtape.
All right. And, of course, Wiz Khalifa is going to be at the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup accepting his Stoner of the Year award as well. So that'll be pretty cool.
That's in anticipation of.
That's right. We've also got Wiz Khalifa hanging out at the end. Not Wiz Khalifa.
Oh, damn it.
Wiz Khalifa. And your camera's not set up. When we're getting
it's looking at the beautiful, beautiful table.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this with the news.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hi, I'm Radical Russ. One of the best things about marijuana is the wonderful aroma. But when you travel a lot like I do, that aroma becomes a suspicious smell. That's why I endorse stealth-products.com, the leaders in smell-proof containers. From smell-proof vacuum bags to smell-proof backpacks and duffel bags, all the way to smell-proof digital safes, stealth-products.com has you covered. Stealth-products.com brings you safe, secure, odorless layers of protection with activated carbon fiber. Backpacks and duffel bags are simple black so as not to attract attention with a logo or flashy design. Now, nothing is perfectly odor-controlled from the detection of drug dogs, but with proper vigilance, containers from stealth-products.com will help you avoid nosy humans.
You're now listening to LFBeats.
Stealth-products.com. Stealth-products.com.
Hey, this is Subcool from Team Green Avenger Seeds, TGAGenetics.com, and you're listening to Normal Show Live.
Weedmaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. In my job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month, and when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to Weedmaps.com. Weedmaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let Weedmaps find you, and in seconds you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. Weedmaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. Weedmaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit Weedmaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network. Inhaling deeply all the sacred smoke.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
A legal battle in Oregon over what constitutes usable weed has ended with a case dismissal. 24-year-old Josh Brewer and a cousin rented a house in Medford, Oregon to grow medical marijuana. Brewer did not want the marijuana around his wife or three young children. They built a 14-foot fence around the backyard and grew 12 plants, six for each of them, according to the Oregon Medical Marijuana Program rules. He said that police from a regional drug task force came to his door one day and asked to see his medical marijuana garden. He let them in because he said he always remains within the law. 2 days later, at 1:30 a.m. in the morning, he heard his dogs barking and got out of bed to find Medford police at his door. Officers were fine with the 2 pounds and 10 ounces that he and his cousin had grown and harvested and dried. Each patient is allowed a pound and a half for legal possession. And they didn't care about his plants. They too were within the limits of the state's medical marijuana law. But they discovered 2.5 more pounds of marijuana recently harvested and drying on coat hanger suspended from the living room ceiling. Brewer was arrested that night. His drying cannabis was seized, and that began a legal battle over what is personal use amounts and what is considered usable marijuana. At the time, a motion to dismiss the case based on the usable definition was denied by a judge, and Brewer did have to serve 60 days in jail and 3 years probation, putting him back on prescription pain pills for an injury that he suffered in a construction accident. But last week on appeal, the state attorney general's office conceded that a 2007 Oregon Court of Appeals ruling had already established that marijuana drying on hangers did not qualify as ready to use. In a brief from Brewer's appeal, it said, without the hanging marijuana, there is no evidence that the defendant possessed more than the lawful amount of usable marijuana. The Oregon law defines usable marijuana as the dried flowers and leaves from the plant. Generally, dry is assumed to mean dry enough to smoke, since the law does not have a definition of how dry is. But for now, Brewer is back to gardening, but he says he now takes a branch off at a time, just what he needs. He says that cutting down all your plants at once and hanging them to dry may put you over your limit and set you up for an opportunity to get busted. Brewer says that now his conviction has been reversed, he plans to sue the Medford Police Department and city for $15 million, saying he's prepared for a fight.
Well, yeah, I mean, the guy had to do 60 days in jail when he was obeying the law. He went even beyond the call of duty in allowing the cops to come in and check out his garden because he was diligent about following the law. But as cops are wont to do, they're going to try to find any loophole, any technicality they can to haul you in because it's their job to arrest people. So the attorney general has informed the judge in this case that the appeals court ruling from 2007 already determined that marijuana that's been freshly harvested is not usable in the legal definition of the term. If it is drying, it is not yet dried. Right? So the 42 ounces of dried marijuana the pair had was within the legal limits, and the 43 ounces of drying marijuana can't count against that. Furthermore, a branch pulled off of a plant to hang and dry itself is not a plant, so those don't count against the 6 mature plant limit either. I mean, this is really amazing. Theoretically speaking, with my caregiver card, I could be sitting here with 24 ounces of dried bud and 6 mature plants with 10 pounds of bud on them apiece. I could chop off a branch each week and dry it, and so long as I've gone through my dried pound and a half before the pound and a half on the branch dries, I've never broken the law. In fact, theoretically, there's no limit to how much weight in wet drying bud I could be drying here, so long as no more than 24 ounces of it is dry at one time. Now, I can see how law enforcement's freaking out about this. First of all, let there be no doubt that some patients do need 24 ounces of medicine in order to make edibles and tinctures and oils that require so much more plant material. And, of course, to hedge against an uncertain supply, since we don't have any sort of reasonable retail access to marijuana here in this state. However, I could also see the argument that this is also a huge loophole through which commercial growers can use the medical marijuana law to shield their illegal production. Now, this just goes to show how unworkable it is to carve out an exception to prosecution for 10% of marijuana's users. No matter what firewalls, limits, inspections, or requirements are created for the medical use of cannabis, the overwhelming market forces driving the personal use of marijuana will always find a way to exploit exceptions and thwart limits. Then, those we persuaded for the exceptions will say, see, we told you legalizing a little would lead to this. And then they push for tighter restrictions and limits that do nothing to stop the personal use market, but cause huge problems for the medical user who has always been the person least able to function in the illicit market.
The family of slain Border Patrol agent Brian Terry has filed a $25 million wrongful death suit against the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives, citing the government's role in Terry's death. Brian Terry was killed with an AK-47 that was knowingly sold to drug cartels under the Fast and Furious gun running probe that has been in place for several years now. The 65-page suit was served on the government agents on Wednesday, according to attorneys of the family. The complaint contends that not only was the ATF negligent in Terry's death, but at the time the program was in direct violation of the ATF's own policies and procedures. The case is a headache for Attorney General Eric Holder, who is already in hot water over the program. Lawmakers have called a hearing about the program and whether Holder has been telling the truth about the program in responding to requests from the House Oversight and Government Relations Committee. Attorney General Eric Holder testified before the House today about his role in the program. The Republicans on the committee pointed out that the Department of Justice was still withholding 93,000 documents that they now intend to subpoena if the Department of Justice doesn't hand them over voluntarily for review. Fast and Furious is the name that was given to the gun tracing operation where agents knowingly allowed gun purchases to Mexican drug operatives so they might be traced to higher echelons of the Mexican drug cartels. They could then pin the guns to the drug cartels to build stronger cases against them if and when they got caught. But even the ATF that ran the program admits that they lost track of hundreds of weapons and that many have been linked to dozens of crimes, including the murder of Border Patrol agent Brian Terry. Many of the guns that have been found in crime scenes in Mexico, and during the hearing on Capitol Hill this morning, political lines were drawn very quickly, with House Republicans doing most of the grilling on Attorney General Holder and the House Democrats using their time on the mic to point out that the Department of Justice did not begin gun tracing programs under the Obama administration, but under George W. Bush's term. President Bush had a similar program called Operation Wide Receiver, but the big difference is that the previous program was coordinated with the Mexican authorities. Fast and Furious is purely American. Holder did say that Mexican authorities were aware of the program and that he had warned them that there was no effort to track the weapons once they moved across the border into Mexico. In 2006 and 2007, Operation Wide Receiver, operating out of the same Phoenix office, allowed approximately 200 guns to walk into Mexico in an effort to identify higher-ups. But from 2009 to 2011, under the Department of Justice Fast and Furious program, nearly 2,000 guns were allowed to get into the hands of Mexican drug cartels. Some, about 1,400 of them, have been yet to be accounted for.
Yeah, this is a big scandal that's brewing up for the Obama administration and Holder. And yeah, there's no doubt that there's some political motivation on the Republican side. You know, the sharks smell blood in the water and they're going to attack. But there's also no denying that there's some blood in the water here that Attorney General Holder needs to answer for. I'm going to give you a clip from the C-SPAN proceedings today. This is just one of the congressmen grilling Attorney General Holder. And I like the way he phrased some of these things here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I want to thank the Attorney General for helping the committee with its work. I know this is your sixth time. If I could, I'd like to try to put the political part of this aside, and really out of respect for Agent Brian Terry and his family and the other 117,000 people that work for you, try to look at some reforms that actually might go to the core of what went wrong here. Now, I know you've referred repeatedly to a tactic, the tactic of gun walking, but really when you drill down on that, what we're allowing here, in this case, in Fast and Furious at least, and in the earlier cases under the Bush administration, basically what the Department of Justice did was authorize criminal activity. Criminal activity. To allow folks that they knew these 20 dealers were buying hundreds of guns and heavy arms, shipping them into Mexico. In my city in Boston, through the office of the FBI, through the confidential informant program, we had folks that were allowed to commit 19 murders under the care and protection of the FBI. I've got a situation right now that's in court where another individual, a confidential informant, has killed at least alleged to have killed at least a half a dozen people. The problem here is that this tactic actually authorizes it puts the law enforcement, federal law enforcement, in a position of authorizing criminal activity. They become complicit in it. That's very troubling, especially when it results in the death of a very brave, courageous agent, or to innocent American civilian citizens. And what is especially troubling, that I believe that you didn't know about it. I believe that you didn't know about it. But that's not a comfort to me. It is unbelievable that either the Phoenix field office or the Boston office of the FBI can authorize criminal activity, not just a mere tactic, but a whole strategy of using that outside the law and then having innocent civilians killed. So I actually think one of the solutions might be for Congress to pass a law that says, if there are those limited occasions where we're going to authorize criminal activity to go on in our society under the cover of law enforcement's authority, then either yourself as the Attorney General or the Director of the FBI or the head of the ATF has to sign off on it, because here everyone escaped responsibility because of plausible deniability. They could say, I didn't know about it. Well, that's troubling. That scares the hell out of me when I think that there's just a local office of the ATF or the FBI that's authorizing criminals to engage in this type of activity, taking AK-47s and letting them get smuggled into Mexico or, you know, Southern California on our side of the border. What are you prepared to do? Look, that's I know that's a blunt instrument, saying that you have to sign off on any of these clandestine operations where we're allowing people to engage in criminal activity that puts the public at risk. What do you propose to do to make sure we don't have this "I didn't know about it" approach? Sort of that guy on, well, the "I know nothing," you know, Sergeant Schultz defense.
And just a quick update from that story yesterday on the POW group. Do you remember that one, Russ?
Yeah.
The Veterans for Weed, they did cave a little bit. Probably all those letters from, heartfelt letters from, of course, POW's families. They changed their name from Veterans for Weed into Veterans for Weed United. So closing down a little discrepancy that they had with Veterans of Foreign Wars, who didn't really like that they take them taking the VFW. But they're going to keep the logo. They said it's it raises some conversation, and they're going to stick with that.
All right. Well, thanks for the update, Carrie. And we will get the story on the explosion in hour two when we get to Toker Talk Radio. We'll talk a little bit about that and how that's connected to the cannabis community. And we're also going to bring you more coming up here on Normal Show Live. So stick around. We are the voice of the Marijuana Nation, and we got to get ready for our Groovin' Thursday tune coming up in just a second.
In the meantime, we're probably going to have a break.
I think we're going to have to take a break with that cool little nail you got going there. We'll talk about that
we'll
now.
We'll talk about
too.
That now, too.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
On February 11 and 12, the world's premier medical marijuana competition arrives in Los Angeles for the first time ever. That's right. At LA Center Studios in Los Angeles, High Times will once again present the Medical Cannabis Cup. There'll be panels and seminars with leaders of the medical marijuana movement, including doctors, patients, researchers, growers, dispensary owners, activists, and High Times' own cultivation editors Nico Escondido and Danny Danko. And don't miss our Saturday night VIP party featuring performances by Ioto and Seedless. Plus, Wiz Khalifa will be on hand to accept High Times Stoner of the Year. Don't forget our closing night Cannabis Cup Award ceremony, honoring the top indicas, sativas, hybrids, concentrates, and edibles entered by California's legally operating cannabis dispensaries and collectives. Go to MedCanCup.com for all the details. Be there February 11th and 12th at LA Center Studios in Los Angeles.
I don't know. Way too big for you. Pitch was all over the place.
Hey, this is Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger Seeds, TGAGenetics.com, and you're listening to The Normal Network.
Almost busted in Laredo, but for reasons that I'd rather not disclose.
I smoke pot, and I like it a lot. Hi, this is Willie Nelson. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer to use than alcohol. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting responsible marijuana smokers in America. And to learn what you can do to help, please contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORMAL.
The show was long and we were just sitting there. And we'd come to play and not just for the ride.
Pop Pass Records.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes. The best in 420 friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Groovin' Thursday. Our salute to all the dopest beats and killer rhymes that we find in the best of rap, hip-hop, soul, R&B, and funk. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tune.
All right, welcome back, everybody. And we're going to get hip-hoppy here with Ganja John. And I should let it be known that Cross Your Fingers was just a joke. In the promo.
No, really, cross your fingers.
We never know. Ganja John could go just like that.
Yeah. I'm the wild card. That's how it works.
So Ganja John's taking over the group of Thursday tunes here. And, you know, we were just talking about the High Times Cup and you know, all the people are going to be there. So the song today is perfect for it.
Yeah, High Times Cup is coming up in the coming week. And we're going to be going to L.A. on Monday. We'll have hopefully have a show on Tuesday. Yeah. Hopefully. Maybe not.
We'll see
Who
what
knows?
We can do.
We'll see what happens. But yeah, on Saturday, it looks like Wiz Khalifa is going to be there to accept Stoner of the Year Award. Rightfully so, with his new movie High School coming out. And 90% of his songs about weed.
Yeah.
I pulled that statistic out of my ass, folks, but it might be true.
We'll have to check.
It might be. It might be. So, well, it's Coleco's saying it sounds accurate over here. But, yeah, definitely great dabbing music for me. Wiz Khalifa. I almost get Coleco almost all the time. Khalifa is often played in the house. And this song is featuring Wale. And without further ado, here it is.
Breeze pimping, it's nothing to me. Roll up that purple and breathe, sit back and fuck up the beat. Them niggas be hating, but them niggas suckers to me. Who here is fucking with me? It's not a discussion. I be in my own class, bitch. I got them cold raps. I fuck the world and fuck your girl and give them both an orgasm. Leave your show canceled, leaving with no answer. The master of my domain, yes, I am no Costanza. First I had potential, now I got them answers. I'm smoking on that voodoo and that's where the Papa Shango. Cooler than the fans circulating. With a dancer in my face, I get one chance and I'ma take it. Suck, Lord, forgive me for my indirect sinning. Am I cheating on this woman? If I'm getting naked bitches from another, I love her, and I'm always going running. But let me be 100, see monogamy's redundant. Sometimes you find a one, sometimes you give it up. Sometimes you buy the ring with no problems, you will love. Sometimes it ain't what's up, sometimes you play the fool. So for now, I'm doing me, and I'm fine, nigga. I hear them talking, they all saying they doing their thing, but they the cold ice 30 below champagne foreign names in my pool. Take you home, let you sleep in my clothes, roll some weed, the homies ain't gotta know. Get you high, keep it on the low. All this paper I fold, meeting fucking hoes on the road, it's taking its toll. Now how you think, don't even speak unless you talking Franklin's. Ran out of weed, but see I kept a G and brought a joint to bake, so so cool. My bitch got no shoes, my whip is new, but I'm playing old school. Always keep it up to date, that's why the hoes choose. Yesterday's paper, that's why you old news. Hated on my team until they seen he won't lose. Homie used to be a player, now I coach fools on how to get your money, live it and spend it just how you're supposed to. Cause some bitches to roll through and yeah. Sticky, I'm blowing out of that last. I'm living with no regrets while I'm getting over my axis. Access granted, take a step up in my world cup. My niggas is girl cup, sipping till I earl up. Oh, cup, hold up. I got the shit sold up. What y'all niggas know about it? My kick game is world cup. World cup, I know that they don't get me. I keep them bitches clean, though my sneaker game is messy. Do some my underselling. No, I did not get that Bentley, but this AMG I do for nothing. You niggas won't catch it. Transmission for my vicious ambition. I just wanna rep my hood, so I be good if I don't get rich. I'm good if y'all don't listen. Just catch me out the district, and I'm prowling in some limited shit. They ain't never shipping. Sometimes you do get dope, sometimes you get the cheese. Sometimes you go to stores and buy everything that you see. Sometimes you do get broke, sometimes you be on E. But for now, just roll it up and just become one with the breeze. Now, but it's talking, yeah. They all saying they doing their thing, but they not like. That's how it is and how it's gonna be. When you're ballin', when you're ballin', see you lay your fans. Watch the niggas on the sideline hatin', sideline hatin'. But I'm too high if I can hear what they sayin', 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 sayin'.
Alternative Medical Choices offers healthcare the way it should be. Easy to access, patient-centered, team-based, and quality-focused. We offer a variety of natural, affordable healthcare treatment options like primary care, group acupuncture, massage, and assistance with OMMP registration. As a patient, you will have a team of experts working with you to make you the best you can be. Call Alternative Medical Choices at 503-288-5579 or check us out on the web at altmedchoices.com.
Fishbone pulled up there. We pulled up today in the van, and I walked out of the building, walked through the big building over, and I walked outside, and I'm walking over by the lake, and I just see everybody casually smoking weed like it's all right. Like it's supposed to be like that.
Because it is all right.
Like you ain't got to worry about no police coming and asking you what you're smoking or what are you doing here, or let me see your driver's license. See, that's how they do it in Amsterdam. Everybody just out there chilling. Ain't nobody stressing. You go buy your weed at the shop. You go kick it, smoke your weed, walk the street, do whatever you want to, and you don't even get messed with.
Yar, the Army Pirates here.
The Pirate King.
You know why we pirates love the Normal Show? Because it's always smoking, matey.
This is Normal Show Live. Tune in to the Normal Network every weekday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern for our primetime lineup. We begin with an hour of daily Toker Tunes, followed by Normal Show Live and Toker Talk Radio, live from Rolla J Studios in Portland, Oregon. Then, you get 2 hours of recorded podcasts from national and international reformers, followed by our late-night live shows at 11 p.m. Eastern. Then the whole six-hour block repeats twice overnight. It's the Normal Network, your source for the best in marijuana media.
Weed.
That's Hooey Valley, Hooey Ha.
Weed.
Where any office boy or
it's time for a return to the epicenter of American cannabis culture. With our guest, you know her from season one of NBC's Last Comic Standing. It's the Hollywood Hempress herself, Terry Joyce.
All right, welcome back, everybody. And we are headed down to Southern California in just a week. If you missed the ad earlier or any time this week, we're going down to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup and... there, I said it that way. Medical Cannabis Cup in Los Angeles. It's next weekend, February 11th and 12th. And for those of you listening to the podcast, come a little closer. I got a special deal for you. You want to save some money on your tickets? You want to save 40% on your tickets to go to the Medical Cannabis Cup and or the VIP party where Wiz Khalifa will be accepting his deal? Do you want to save some money?
I think I would like to save
Everybody
some money.
Everybody want to save some money?
I'm a poor college student. I could use that 40%.
Here's how you do it. Go online to get your tickets. And you get a promo code. You know those little coupon codes you can type in?
Right.
This is just for you Normal supporters out there. C-A-N-O-R-M-L. C-A Normal, or is it California Normal, is your promo code. Those seven letters get you 40% off your tickets.
What was that? One more time?
40% your tickets. So check that out.
And those tickets are like $100. So that takes them from $100 to $60.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
That's an affordable, great time, I gotta say.
That's like going to see you too. But it lasts like 2 days and it's not shitty.
Yeah. And you can smoke weed.
Yeah.
It's 9 to 7. Or it's a noon to 7, excuse me, on the first day, on Saturday. And it's like noon to 9 on the Sunday, because the second 2 hours on Sunday are the awards that they're giving. Also, we've got the raffles that we're going to be doing.
We got some pretty sweet packages putting together.
Oh, yeah. We got Stealth backpacks. We got Rick Steves hemp backpacks. We have got all sorts
of... Normal Life.
Yeah, we got the Normal Life DVD. We've got the new, the big, thick reference guide to medical marijuana law in California. All sorts of great things going on there. So you want to check that out. And here's the cool thing. When you buy a raffle ticket from us, we're going to do a raffle at 20 after... at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. So 1, 20, 2, 23, 24, 25, 26, 20. There's going to be a raffle both days. So 12 chances to win. Your one ticket gets you into all 12 raffles. So you got 12 chances to win. As the day goes by, each prize package gets better and better and better, right? So the later you win, the better.
Hundreds of dollars in prizes.
Literally $2,000 worth of prizes that we're giving away.
Goodness.
That's
now,
crazy.
The last technical detail I have to work out is whether or not we're going to offer this raffle to the online listeners that will be following us at live.normal.org. We're going to sell them on site. I'm trying to think of some way that we might be able to sell them to the people.
An online raffle?
Online raffle that we're doing, too. But I still got to work out. There's some legal details I have to work
for
out.
For sure.
Yeah, so keep that on hold. Anyway, let's go to our guests. Southern California scene. We've got Terry Joyce, who is hanging out there, and we hope the connection is good. Can you hear me okay, Terry?
Yeah, I can hear you great.
Oh, fantastic. I was telling everybody about the fun we're going to have in L.A. next week. Are you just dying to see this Cannabis Cup come your way?
I am. I'm so excited about it. And I'm even more excited to be able to do the Tuesday show with you and see you in person.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be doing shows from our condo in L.A. that we're staying at. And, yeah, come on in. We'll have you sit in. We'll have a good time. Bring DJ, whoever else you want.
Oh, great. I will for sure.
Now, I didn't want to take too much time away with small talk because I know you've got a guest with you today to discuss some of the issues that are going on in Southern California. And I blathered on about the raffles and stuff. So why don't you introduce our guest and tell us what's the topic?
Well, the topic is you know, right now we're really having to defend our dispensaries here. There's a LA City Councilman, Jose Huizar. He's based out of Eagle Rock, but he's definitely spearheading a lot of the shutdowns. And so there is it's cannabis clubs with the community in Eagle Rock, and it's spearheaded by a guy named Tim Ryder to support the medical marijuana dispensaries. What's interesting about Tim is that he really doesn't smoke marijuana, but he's a libertarian. He went to his local city council meeting and said, why are they talking about against these dispensaries and saying that they're really dangerous to the neighborhood, et cetera, et cetera? And he found out that, no, there's no problem. And I know that the RAND report came out, which also says that, you know, that cannabis commerce is actually good for the neighborhood. So he created this group together. And last night, Jose Huizar was addressing, it was called We Don't Want to Go Onto the Black Market. So we all wore black last night to represent that. If you shut down our dispensaries, we're going to go to the black market.
Yeah,
and it was quite a it got a little out of hand because he went through his whole spiel. It's like he did a PowerPoint presentation, like, you know, if we were at some corporation meeting. He kind of skimmed over marijuana, and then he went to like graffiti that needs to be fixed and tree trimming, and then also there was the massage parlors that they need to also like regulate. I'm thinking, you know what, we're having more problems with the massage parlors than we are at marijuana clubs here, you know.
Well, that's the thing. I'm glad you bring up that point that, you know, it seems like they think they shut down dispensaries, people will just stop being sick. People will stop being patients. No, they'll get their marijuana. It's just a criminal will be selling it to them rather than a dispensary.
That's right.
And hello?
He would say things. Oh, Dan, see, I'm going to introduce Dan in a moment. Dan is with the group, with us. He's one of the, he was there last night because Dan, as a matter of fact, got really radical. I couldn't believe it. You know, because like Jose Huizar, like at the end, he goes, okay, I'm open to questions. And every single card that came up there was about marijuana.
Yeah.
And you could tell like he was like, oh, not another one, you know? And he would skim over it like, marijuana, la la, what about the blah blah? He would, well, you know, and then, you know, he would nothing to say. So finally we started yelling out of the back, like, you're not answering the question. And then other people started to like yell back at him. And Dan, who I'm bringing onto the show, just, you know, got up like really courageous and, you know, went up to the front and just like broke in and started arguing with him. And of course, then there was another man who was arguing and we basically, I felt like I was heckling a comedian. And let me tell you something. And I kind of felt a little guilty, but a little, like, it felt good too at the same time.
Be on the other side of it.
Right. But he folded. He, you know, him, you know, when we asked him, what, you know, give us the proof that the crime rate has increased here in the city because of these dispensaries, because they even had the police officer come down and a chart about how the crime rate had gone down in Eagle Rock, and yet he was claiming to us, oh, we're going to shut these down because they are, you know, they cause more crime in the neighborhood. Well, you can't take still two things at once. So
he
basically said, well, my constituent said this to me.
Right.
So I want to introduce Dan Hankin to the show. He's a medical marijuana activist in with Cannabis Clubs United with the Community, and he also has his own and is a part of his own Grateful Dead tribute band.
Oh, fantastic, Dan! Hey, welcome to the show.
sure. Morning Glory is a lot of fun. We play these festivals up here at the park in Eagle Rock to support cannabis rights, too. That's Tim Ryder. He's kind of the Bill Graham of Eagle Rock out here.
Oh, right on. Dan, tell us about this city council meeting and your input in it.
Well, what happened was is that we went down there, and Jose Huizar was going to make a point about how the collectives are causing problems. But see, he never can answer, and he's pushing this in city council to just shut all the collectives down because it's wrapped up in some court cases and there's some legal disputes going on. But he's just going for the jugular. He wants to get rid of them. But what we asked him was, where's your evidence that they're causing any problems? I mean, we have other problems in Eagle Rock and other parts of Los Angeles. And he wouldn't answer that.
Right.
He just kept saying, I heard this, I heard that. So I kept bringing the point back and said, that's hearsay. Mm-hmm. That's hearsay. And then Officer Orange, who is one of the lead policemen in Northeast Division, came up and he tried to talk about how he had heard this and that, or a kid could get drugs from the dispensary. I said, well, you know, a kid could get drugs from Walgreens. Are you going to shut down Walgreens?
Right.
Now, so they really didn't have an answer. They tried to just whitewash the whole thing. Michael Larson was there. He's on the neighborhood council, who very much does not like the dispensaries and is always pushing to get rid of them, and he was making a big stink about everything. But, yeah, it did get a little out of control because the people there knew that there was no credible evidence to shut down the collectives, and it was political that he was going after them, probably to appeal to some of the conservatives, maybe he's thinking of running for mayor. I don't know. But we did at least make him – we kind of ruffled him a little, made him address the fact there really is no evidence.
Yeah. That's fantastic that you're, you know, holding his feet to the fire like this. And I got to apologize to you guys because we've got an interview that we're doing in Spain in just a minute.
Oh, wow.
Here. So I have to get to Jorge Cervantes in Spain. But can you join us, Dan, next week when we're in Los Angeles and we can get in more detail about this and have you there?
Absolutely.
On the show?
Okay. I got to introduce you to Tim, too.
I'll bring my bass. Maybe we can jam.
Dark Star for 4 hours. Right?
Yeah, there we go. All right, thank you so much. And Terry, thank you for joining us here on the show. I'm sorry to have to cut it short and run, but we've got Jorge waiting in Spain, so I appreciate you bringing Dan on the show, and we'll get to talk to you next week.
No problem.
All right. So stay tuned, folks. Like I mentioned, we've got an interview with Jorge Cervantes in Barcelona, Spain, that we're going to bring to you from video record a couple of days ago. You're listening to Normal Show Live. You're back right after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. Normal, unlike any other marijuana or drug reform organization, is built from the ground up by grassroots activists. We are the Marijuana Smokers Lobby, and we aren't just anti-prohibition, we're pro-marijuana. Every week, we take some time to talk to the citizens of local Normal chapters across the country and around the world, as well as others who are working to make a difference in the fight to end adult marijuana prohibition. In this segment, we call Grassroots Activism.
From our own Jorge Cervantes TV, here's the legendary grower and High Times columnist. All right, folks, we're really excited here to be joined by Jorge Cervantes via Skype from Barcelona, Spain. Jorge, thanks for joining us in what's the evening for you.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Russ. It's really good to be back here in Spain. You know, I lived here for so many years, and I've been in America a couple of years, and I just miss it here. It's a wonderful place.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I wish I could visit sometime, and who knows, maybe someday I will. Jorge, we're really excited to have you here because, of course, you've been contributing to the Normal Network with your videos from JorgeCervantes.tv, and I encourage anyone to check those out at the website. And, of course, you've written so many books that people swear by as far as marijuana cultivation goes. We've got you here today because you got a new DVD out that we want to tell people about, so let's tell them about it. What's the new DVD about?
Well, yeah, actually, it's really pretty cool. We shot most of it. Part of it here we shot in Barcelona, actually. The intro and the exit we shot just up the hill over here in Parque Güell, or Güell Park to most people, some in Parque Güell. But anyway, the rest of it we shot in Northern California, and it's the Green Giants of California. Canaventures with Jorge Cervantes. Canaventures, Green Giants of California. And, man, I mean, go through and see some great gardens. I'm not kidding. These gardens are A number one. One of the gardens, for example, was grown by a third-generation grower from up there. And that's where you'll see the 10-pound plant.
Right.
And we go through everything about it, you know, exactly how to grow a 10-pound plant.
It's remarkable. And, of course, we're talking about a lot of, especially out here on the West Coast, where we have the medical marijuana statutes that say you can only have a certain number of plants. Well, then it makes sense to try to maximize what you're going to yield from each plant.
Well, that's right, you know. And say if you can grow in California, we also have a home in California. In my county there, we're supposed to be able to grow 6 plants. Well, you can either grow 6 one-pound plants or 6 10-pound plants. Yeah, I mean, you can make the decision yourself, you know. It takes a little bit more work, but it's not too tough. And it's not expensive at all either. You can grow this cannabis for less than $10 an ounce.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, way less.
Yeah, that's amazing. And so folks will be able to find out how to get this DVD on your website and other outlets?
Yeah, you can find it at JorgeCervantes.tv. And also you'll be able to find it on Amazon.com. You can actually download it streaming. I don't know, it's all these new terms. stream it down from Amazon.com, watch it on your iPhone, your iPad, and that should be available in the next week or so. And then after that, we've got them being made right now as we speak in high definition Blu-ray. And we shot everything in HD. You can blow it up as big as you want, you know, and see the plants life size.
Oh, wow.
Great.
That's going to be a great DVD. Everyone check that out at JorgeCervantes.tv. And we'll have links up at our blog at stash.normal.org. And, Jorge, you've been writing about and cultivating cannabis for years and years and years now. And of course, we've seen a great development in people's skill and ability to cultivate cannabis plants over the decades. Is there anything that's happening now new in techniques or technology that's got you really excited about cannabis cultivation?
Well, as far as techniques, you know, I mean, the last 10 years, I've been really an outdoor grower, and I love growing outdoors because, number one, it's natural. It's under the sun. There's a few things that are really, really cool. Number one, I'd say, are these auto-flowering feminized plants that are coming out. They've been here in Europe for the last 5 years, and they've been quite big. They actually originated in Poland, and it was a Canadian breeder, a joint doctor, that had that little one. It was about this high, super little guy, lowrider.
Yeah.
And they got it over here in Spain, first in Switzerland and then in Spain later, and worked it up, and now you can get these plants in. They've crossed them with everything. They've got the taste tasting really good. The resin is very high. Got a high cannabinoid level. They've got them so it'll grow a meter tall. That's about 40 inches. And it'll produce at least 100 grams. 100 grams is almost 4 ounces per plant. The cool part is about them, you plant it on day one, well, 70 days later, you've got a complete a plant that's ready to harvest. That goes from seed to harvest in 70 days.
Wow.
And they will flower under any light regimen. You give it 24 hours of light, guaranteed to flower. Hmm. That's one of the big things. And then also just this technology. I've known about big plants for years and been growing them for years. But it's just they're a lot more popular right now because of the limited number of plants people can grow. Those are the big things. And then the other things that I'm really interested in, very excited about, is the cannabinoid testing that all of the labs in California are doing. That's really raised the level everywhere. They used to do it in Netherlands, but there was really no reason to do it there. As a matter of fact, they were afraid to do it for a lot of years. because they thought they would prove that the drug content was too high. You know, and it was. It was awfully high. But it's really sorted out a lot of things. You know, people have been claiming they had 30% cannabis or content of THC. That's physically impossible. It can only go up to 24%. That's it, you know. And then also the testing, CBDs have been a huge thing. That's the cannabinol. It's the no-high part of the cannabis. But now, well, over at Resin Seeds and Mr. Nice Seeds, they've made a joint venture where they have a one-to-one ratio of THC and CBD in their varieties. So this stuff is what really, really amazes me. And as far as new products, yeah, I guess there's a bunch of those out there too. But I'm into the plants. That's what turns me on.
Well, you know, and there's something in your description of the plants there that I thought, you know, that I caught, and maybe a few other people heard, your use of the word varieties rather than strains. Could you explain that to people? Because I think they get that confused a lot.
Strain. A strain is a fungus. They are lower plants. Lower plants do not need light to survive. They do not produce chlorophyll. You find strains of bacteria as well in your body. Strains do not exist in cannabis. The word's been misused for years. I went through a big, the last books I've written, I've used the word strains, and I'll have to say it was against my better judgment. I used them because it was a popular word, and nobody had known what the hell I was talking about unless I said strains. Well, that's not necessary any longer. You know, I'm not going to do it. Plants are grown out as varieties, and they're varietals. And, you know, to raise the whole level of the entire industry for people to take it seriously, because they damn well should, we're important people, and it's an important plant that we're helping out. So we should use the proper vocabulary here.
Excellent. So, varieties. Yeah, make a note of that, everyone. It's varieties, not strains. We're speaking with Jorge Cervantes, the legendary cannabis expert, and he's got a new DVD out. You got to check it out. It's out at JorgeCervantes.tv. You know, the books that you've written and the education you've given to people through DVDs and streams and so forth has been invaluable to many cannabis cultivators. I'm wondering if you've seen not only that the best growers have gotten better, but the average level of grow knowledge has increased. Have you seen that amongst the average grower is better now than they were, you know, 10, 20 years ago?
Yeah, actually, that's been a huge change. Because before, you know, like I started at this publicly 30 years ago. And before that, I was in the industry a good strong 10 years, maybe a bit longer if you count everything. And back then, nobody knew anything. It was very hard to get good, clean information from people. One of the things that I remember from, well, really 30 years ago, was they were using those China hats, they call them, or cone reflectors that would have the bulb hanging straight down. And I asked at least 20 different manufacturers and people that work for the manufacturer why they were cone-shaped and, you know, what's the deal there? Because I used my light meter. I purchased one of them. And I said, why is it this shape? Nobody had a valid answer for me. And finally, one guy told me, he goes, well, that's because they make the materials 4 feet wide. And so to get the most out of the material, we make a cone hood. And I thought, that's got nothing to do with growing plants. It's got everything to do with looking at the material. You know, using the most of the material. So then I went to Netherlands and saw everybody had their lamp horizontally. And I thought, whoa, that's important. And then I talked to Jack Poot, or Poot, you say, P.L. Lingerie lamp lighting. They're the first big Dutch company. And talked to him. I asked him a million questions and found out some real simple answers. He had a real simple answer. As soon as you turn a lamp sideways, half of the light's reflected and half of it's direct. It's just inherently more better. I mean, well, it's more efficient, you know. that same thing has gone on and on and on throughout this entire industry. In fact, there's many, many examples of it today. You know, somebody will find something out that works. They keep that information to themselves, and they make money from it, and they share it with nobody. I can't mention it. I just won't mention any names, but I'm always turning over rocks and finding things I don't like underneath them.
Oh, Jorge, you know, we could sit here all day and just pick your brain of all the massive knowledge that you've accumulated, but we're unfortunately limited for time here. So I want to remind everyone, check out JorgeCervantes.tv, and you can catch replays of those videos on our video block. It's at 10 in the morning Pacific time, or if you're in Barcelona, Spain, it's at 7 at night. So you can catch those replays. And Jorge, again, give them information on the DVD, and if they want to contact you, how can they get a hold of Jorge Cervantes?
Oh, you can write me at Jorge@marijuanagrowing.com, and that's marijuana with a J, not a H like we spell it here. And, that's easy. I've got a regular email there, and I answer my emails actually fairly regularly. And then I also just got off of, about 10 minutes ago, I was on called Trees. It's on that site Reddit.
Correct.
REDDIT.com. Anyway, I'm going to be on there every week answering questions, and I answered, I don't know, 60 questions there in the last hour. I can type really fast. so that's another way to get a hold of me.
Fantastic.
And then, and then also, I don't know if you're over in, anybody's over in Europe often, but every year I make a point of going to, the Spanabiz.com. Fair. It's the biggest fair in Europe. It's huge thing. And it's way bigger than anything in America. It's the biggest one in the world. And then also they've got the, there's another fair, Cultiva.at. That's one I try to make. That's over in Austria. And then the other fair that I try to make every year is Canatrade.ch. That's going to be right outside of Zurich this year in Switzerland.
Yeah. Wow. Very exciting time for those of you out there in Europe. Check out Jorge Cervantes at all of these different events, and the information will be up there at JorgeCervantes.tv. Jorge, thanks again for all you're doing and for joining us here on the show. We really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks so much, Russ. I'm really, really happy you invited me. Thanks again.
All right. Yeah, it's great. It's talking to Jorge Cervantes out there from Barcelona, Spain. And no, I don't change clothes that quickly. That was pre-recorded a couple of days ago. It was a good time talking to Jorge. Oh, my goodness. Some music for a bed. Thank you, Lieber Maynard. How very nice of you. So here we are winding up the hour, having a good time. Taking into hour two at Toker Talk Radio, where you can get your calls in at 971-533-7111. Also, coming up later tonight, Ganja John Show.
Yeah, I hope. We told the labor manager to do something earlier, and it was like, sorry, we can't do that, Russ.
I'm sorry, Dave. I can't do that. So there we go. But good stuff happening on Ganja John Show. Guest tonight?
No.
No guest. Just Ganja
just
John.
Just music and Ganja John.
Just raw, unadulterated Ganja John.
Talking about being excited for the High Times.
I'm going to get Dan Michaels to record a disclaimer for your show.
Okay.
Somewhat along the lines of the South Park disclaimer.
I like
that. This show is not safe for listening by anyone.
I like that.
Something like that?
Yeah.
You want to write one up?
Yeah, I'll work some out.
Yeah, give us something that you know. And remember, all hate mail goes to john@normal.org.
Yes. That has to be in it.
But this should be clear to folks. When you listen to the Ganja John Show, you're getting it unfiltered. You're getting it real. You're getting it raw.
I like what Alan wrote. We turn off the filters.
You turn off the filters. So get ready for that. Live tonight. Well, not live, but recorded.
Recorded.
Almost live.
Almost live. Virtually. Like an hour delay.
Like, we're going to leave here, and he's going to do that.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe I have to head out there.
Yeah.
All right. So check that out tonight, 8 o'clock Pacific. And 11 o'clock Eastern Time. I'm Radical Russ for Wiz Calico, Ganja John, and Cannabis Carry. Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned for Hour 2. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers. Take care of each other, tokers. Take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Sing it on one more time. since you've